the speaker up here, I believe. I'd like to ask you a question today. Why are people so offended at Christians? Why are people so offended at our gospel message? Why are people so offended at Jesus Christ? Why is it that all the world doesn't believe in Jesus and rejoice with us at the mention of his name? For I can stand before you today and say, Jesus is Lord. He is King of kings and Lord of lords, God's own Son, our Savior. All men everywhere repent, for he has fixed a day upon which he'll judge the world. But God offers salvation free by grace to be received by faith to enter into the joy and bliss of heaven. I can say that here pretty boldly. You all want to get in the bus and go down to Walmart with me and watch me do that in aisle 4?
Yeah.
We ought to do that, right?
Let's all go.
Yeah. Thank you. You'll surround me and protect me from the riot that will begin, right? Because if I preach it here, you all rejoice with me in what I'm saying. But if you go most places in the world, in popular culture, you're going to start a fight. People are going to be offended at what you're saying. And so I want to help us to get over that fear of offending people today. I want to ask, what is so offensive about our message, about us, about Jesus? And why don't all people believe in him and rejoice with us? Well, let's take a look at Matthew chapter 11, verse 5. Let's see, first of all, what's so offensive about our Lord? Okay? Matthew 11, verse 2. Now, when John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you he who is to come, or shall we look for another?" Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them, and blessed is he who takes no offense at me." So what's so offensive about Jesus here? Can you name a few things? What do you find offensive about this, that the blind receive their sight, that lame people walk, that deaf people can hear, that dead people are raised up to life again, and that the poor have good news preached to them? What's offensive? Why would Jesus even say that? Blessed is he who takes no offense at me. After all these wonderful things he's doing, what is there to take offense at? Answer, there's nothing, right? How about John 3:16? This is the message of the world, of our God, that the world will not accept. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. What's offensive about that message? For God means that there is a God out there. We're not alone in the universe. We didn't come up out of primordial soup in a chaotic place. We're not alone. There is a God, and guess what? He loved the world. He loves us. We're part of the world. That word world is cosmos, from which we would get cosmos, the universe. He so loved the world that he gave. He's not a God who just sits back and said, "Have a nice day, I'm on my own, you're on your own." He actually acted upon it and gave what? His most prized jewel, his only begotten Son. And where did he give him? To be with us, but into death, that we might be saved. He gave him over to be crucified, that whoever believes in him, that's the purpose clause, in order that, so that, with the result that, anyone who believes in Jesus Christ will not perish, will not die eternally, will not be condemned, but should have eternal life. Enter into the joy of your heavenly Father, where there's a mansion prepared for you, and all other good things by grace. What's offensive about that? John 3:16. There ain't nothing. There is nothing offensive about Jesus. There's nothing offensive about our gospel message. There's nothing offensive about Christians who are walking in the light of the truth. So therefore, why are we getting called offensive by the world? And why are you getting shut up in your mouth about preaching to other people? Because you're afraid that you're going to, quote, offend them. Are you really the guilty party here? Why does the world not believe in Jesus? Why don't they accept this? Why are we offensive to them? Well, it's because, as it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul says, we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word, but by the open statement of the truth, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it's veiled only to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of God, of Christ, who is the likeness of God. So why are people offended at our message? Because there is another God, not a real God, but a pretender God, our arch enemy, a fallen angel, a fallen cherubim. And what has he done? What does he do to people? His purpose is to blind them to the truth, so that when you share and shine the light of those candles over there into my eyes, I take offense at it, and I don't know where I'm going. And if someone says, you don't know where you're going, I do. I'm offended at you, because I think part of the blindness is that I think that I see. I'm the enlightened one, and you Christians are the ones in darkness, right? Where does this devil come from? How powerful of an enemy is he? In Isaiah 14, we read, how you are fallen from heaven, O day star, son of the dawn, how you are cut down to the ground, you who laid the nations low. You said in your heart, I'll ascend to heaven above the stars of God. I'll set my throne on high, etc. I'll make myself like the Most High God. But you are brought down to Sheol, to the depths of the pit. Now that prophecy was originally about the king of Babylon, but I believe it pertains to the evil one, to the devil. As also we see in Ezekiel 28, we see he was the signet of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God, etc. You are blameless in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in you. In the abundance of your trade, you were filled with violence and you sinned. So I cast you as a profane thing from the mountain of God. The guardian cherub drove you out from the midst of the stones of fire. Your heart was proud because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. So this devil actually exists today. And those upon whom he has, you know, he's sometimes called a serpent. And sometimes we've seen in nature, you have like a king cobra. What's he do? And he spits poison into your eyes so that you can't see. He blinds you. And that's what the devil, as the greater dragon and serpent, does. He spits into people's eyes that they cannot see, and they're blinded. And because they believe the devil's lies, they have become like their father, the devil. That's why Jesus says, Why will none of you understand what I say? It is because you are of your father, the devil. My word, you cannot bear to hear my word. So, what I'm trying to say to you today is that if the devil is trying to stop us from preaching. Hank, I heard you come in here today a few minutes ago and said, where are all the people? Don, I saw you just a few minutes ago look around at all the empty chairs. Was that what I write? Did I read you right? Okay, and I heard you say, Alice, a few minutes ago, what did you say? You said something similar. My seat is available because nobody's taken it. I see a problem here. I think the devil's been playing us for fools, because we really do have an enemy. His aim is to stop the light from shining. We ourselves were once the devil's children, blindfolded, lost. If you'd mentioned the name of Jesus in our sinful state, we would have been offended at him. But God, who is rich in mercy, even when we were dead in our trespasses, sent his son to die for us. And 2 Corinthians 3 says, when a man turns to the Lord, look at this, when a man turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we cast away that. And the Lord has rescued us and given us eyes to actually see and hearts to really believe his truth. But I think there's still some lies that are binding us up. Because none of us, look at this, the room's empty, more or less. Except for you guys, of course, but there's plenty of room for more people. And so I think the devil's got you, as well as me, hoodwinked, fooled, and tricked to think that, hey, wait a second, if I go out there preaching to other people, I'm the offensive party. No, I'm not the offensive party. What does it say in John 3:16? God so loved the world, etc. Then in a few verses later it says, and this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Is there any offense in light, in Jesus Christ, in our message, in Christians? No, that's a ruse. You got to strip that off of your mind today as a lie of the devil. You are not the offending party. All you're doing is walking up to people to give them a wonderful gift. That's all you're doing. You're there to say, I want you to live. I want you to have life. I want you to have forgiveness. That's all we're doing. I want you to have Jesus Christ, in whom there is nothing to be offended at. And when we do that, the Holy Spirit works to create faith in their hearts, that they may then be rescued and see and believe. So why are there so few people here, and why do so few people believe in Christ? And I'm one of the guilty parties as well. It's because the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. God has said of us, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill can't be hid, nor do men light a lamp and put it under a bushel, but on a stand for all to see. So when we go out there, we want to go out there knowing we're in the truth. Remember that movie, A Few Good Men, with Jack Nicholson and Tom Cruise? And Jack Nicholson was the evil U.S. Marine commander guy. And at one point, Tom Cruise, the lawyer, young Navy lawyer, says, I want the truth. And then Jack Nicholson says, you can't handle the truth. That's what the devil tries to say to all people in the world. You can't handle the truth. But what we're about, you got to understand, is that all we're doing is walking in truth, dispelling lies and bringing people the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. A truth that will bring them life and light and salvation through the one true God, Jesus Christ. So will you this week take a challenge to invite someone for next week to come or to this Sunday? At least invite them. I won't pick on you or challenge you next week to see who's sitting next to you. But speak with people this week, because you are the hope of the world. You are the light of the world. Jesus is in you, and he is the only hope. So let's don't believe that lie of the devil, that we're offending people. We're not offending anybody. They're offended because of the sin that's in their own hearts. And they're offended because of the devil, who is their father, whether they know it or not. But we are bringing them a message of freedom, whether they know it or not. And many who you share this with will be saved. Praise God. So let's rejoice in our God of truth, our great and true and shining light, Jesus Christ. Amen.